You are listening to the Caffeinated Thoughts Podcast. Hi, this is Shane Vanderhart. Welcome back to another episode. Sorry for the lengthy absence. This summer and spring has been busy, so these obviously have not been weekly podcasts, but I'm trying to get them up as often as I can. And today I wanted to offer a short episode. I had the opportunity to speak with Chase Holm, who's a candidate running for mayor of Des Moines. He came on the podcast to discuss his views, his background. He's got an interesting background. Army veteran who actually spent some time being homeless. So he's got some ideas that I think are intriguing. Should he win the mayoral contest this fall? So I hope you tune into that. But before we get to that interview, first a word from our sponsor, American Principles Project.
At American Principles Project, we believe that human dignity should be at the heart of public policy. We work in all 50 states and in Washington, D.C. to promote life, religious freedom, local control over education, authentic economic progress for working Americans, and a return to constitutional principles such as federalism. Want to help American Principles Project? Visit our website today, AmericanPrinciplesProject.org. That's American Principles, P-L-E-S, project.org. Sign up for email updates. Help us out. We want to work with you. That's AmericanPrinciplesProject.org.
And we're back. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Chase Holm.
Chase, welcome to the Caffeinated Thoughts Podcast.
All right, thank you for having me. I appreciate it, Shane.
Hey, very welcome. So one question I always ask every candidate I speak to: why do you want to run?
Why do I want to run? Well, I mean, at first, you know, I came back from my second deployment, and I think it was all slowly built up to this point. You know, I had a buddy, a Marine recon friend of mine, and him and I, we came back. We had some bad circumstances, and so we decided to live out in the woods for a few months, essentially homeless. And from there, we came up with a plan to benefit ourselves. And that plan was to reduce expenditures, like reduce things that didn't add benefit to our lives, to diversify our income, and then to concentrate on those things that truly benefited us. And with that plan, as I was trying to improve the city once I moved here several years ago, I decided that that would be a perfect plan for our city. And that's what kind of got me moving along. And doing multiple conversations at the city council and seeing things not moving forward in the right direction, That's really spurred me as well.
Okay. So you said a couple things that just piqued my attention, because I don't know anything about your background. Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're originally from, how long you lived in Des Moines. And I want to know about this, you know, being homeless for a while. That's interesting.
Okay. Yeah. So I grew up Western Iowa, further out west. That's where I originally came from. But I've been everywhere with the military. I've been in the military for over a decade. I've deployed twice with them, so I've traveled to virtually every fort, every base. I've worked with all sorts of different agencies overseas, and so I've really been everywhere. I've been in this city for several years now. My fiance, she's originally not even from here. She's from Zacatecas, Mexico, and her getting everything together, running her business, being a property manager, that's what really got me to moving ahead with my life and getting everything together. We have a daughter together. She's one, and she's pretty great. That's another reason I want to see the city improve, not only for my own daughter, but for everyone's daughter. You know, I think if I'm assisting the city in a future forward momentum, then everybody's kids can grow with that. That's especially true with the school systems. Our tax schemes that the city has employed has ruined our school system. I think next year we're looking at $24 million shortfall and firing 20 teachers. So that's a devastation to the future generation. And as far as the homeless thing, we came back. We wanted to build a nonprofit for veterans coming back and not having a direction. And we were looking at $500,000 property. We wanted to build a recreation center, housing, programs for work development station. And the guy, while we were over training soldiers in Wisconsin on weapon systems and on caring for civilians on the battlefield, that's one of the big things we do. He sold it from out from under us. Didn't talk to us about it or anything. So I felt like, you know, I still want to do the things that I can to help people, that selfless service that you're taught in the military.
Yeah.
And this is just another direction. This is just another way to do that.
Okay. Absolutely. So how long were you homeless, and where were you homeless at? I mean, that
just
had to be
three. Enough. Yeah. Just 3 months. We lived out in the woods, out in the Bourne area, pretty much camping. And that's the way we looked at it. But yeah, we didn't have a set place. I mean, I crashed with friends on occasion, but that was more just me trying to figure out where I wanted to go. I didn't want any set bills, any set place to live at the time, and neither did he. So we were like, hey, you know, what do we want to, what's our next step? I think when every soldier comes back from overseas, it's almost like graduating from high school. You're like, what do I do next? The world is my oyster, you know? And
right.
I mean, I could have went anywhere. Yeah, he currently lives out in San Diego with the Marines. And I decided to stay here. This was where I decided to set down roots. Was
okay.
In Des Moines.
Yeah, I definitely. You know, the transition back home for a lot of soldiers and Marines and sailors are, you know, it's difficult. Your story resonates with me because my son, he actually voluntarily became homeless for like a summer and lived in his van. And we literally said he lived in the van down by the river. So, so it's. Yeah, he you know, he wanted to simplify. Didn't want to have bills and things like that. And his mom and I had a hard time understanding that, but you know, he survived and he probably grown as a result of that. So,
absolutely.
Now I have to admit, when I think about a libertarian and city government, what comes to mind is Nick Offerman's character Ron Swanson on Parks and Rec. One of my favorite characters. So how does libertarianism work in city government?
Yeah, so absolutely. I am more libertarian. I think I've personally developed the concepts and the ideas for the urban environment on the libertarian idea, the more reduced government, myself, and then with a bunch of my soldiers and friends, just discussing politics and how that would look. So I've come up with a lot of concepts myself. It's on my website. HOLM, HOLM, homerunformayor.com. And it's a lot of detailed policies, because I think what a lot of politicians have gotten away from is policies. They just do a lot of pandering. You know, they say things that they know people like emotionally, and they don't develop policies that actually affect change for the best. And so that's what I've looked at. What that actually is allowing people more liberty to do what they want with their own money. That's the concept that I've brought in, forward. I can tell you, as far as property taxes, because the city has a spending problem and not a revenue problem, they'll tell you otherwise, because that's how they get to raise property taxes as well as other taxes. But if
they don't actually raise property taxes. What they do is the Polk County assessor, you know, says that your home is valued more. That tends to be a problem here.
Yeah, well, this last time they raised them, and they kept threatening to continue to raise them until they got that tax through the sales. Yeah, so they were doing it then, and then they lowered the raise and told everybody, hey, we lowered your property taxes. You're welcome. But what I would like to do is rebate everybody. At least we'll start off with 5% of their property taxes. You know, we do about 3,000, so that'd be 150 for us, you know, whatever anybody else has. But there's two avenues you can do with that. You can either A, donate to a nonprofit, which there's a huge amount of them here. A lot of our land is actually nonprofits. Nonprofits, the philanthropic part of our city, does a lot of great benefit. I actually worked with Project Iowa as a volunteer on their board of directors for business. And we help underemployed, unemployed. We work with the different homeless shelters trying to get them jobs. So there's a great need for those nonprofits to continue to have people put money in there. And I think that's, you know, one of the great benefits of doing that is people could write that off on taxes, and it allows them to vote with their own wallets. And the second part, because I want more people to have more liberty to decide what they want to do with their own money, is if you can choose to put that into your own house, you can choose to put that money and build up your house. You know, that helps the city look better, your communities look better, by improving the building that you live in.
Okay. Sounds good. So as far as Des Moines having a spending problem, where do you think spending reductions could take place, and what would you do as mayor if elected to help rein spending in. Obviously, you got to work with city council, which that's a feat in itself just based on the makeup. So how would you go about doing that? What would that look like?
Absolutely. So one of the first things I would look at is setting the example. I'd reduce my own pay. You know, I know in the paper it said I'm just going to reduce it willy-nilly, like just out of the blue. But what I would like to do is tie the mayor's pay to the average income of families within the city. That actually reduces my pay by 10%, taking it from 52,000 to 48,000. And then with that tie, wherever the city fluctuates, if the city's doing better, the families within the city are doing better, the mayor's pay would go up. If they're doing worse, it goes down. And that's a reflection on the job that the mayor's doing. So that would be the first thing I would do is just to tie that pay. After that, I would look at turning certain offices into nonprofits themselves. Since we're going to have people the liberty to spend their money the way they would want towards nonprofits, we can start turning certain I guess there would be committees that work within the city into nonprofits, and we'd have to assess that, obviously, as a whole. And then the third and most important is to slowly, over time, get rid of the tax increment financing scheme that we still use here. It was developed in 1952 in California, and it was abandoned by California because it gave them $10 billion in debt. Here in the city, we have $432 million in debt, and about 15% of all of our money is spent on that debt every year. So it's really just a corporate welfare thing. I know the current mayor likes to spin it and make it seem like it's a really good thing, but it's always been used downtown. That compromises 5% of our population, and they get about 90% of that money. And it's terrible for the environment because it shifts jobs around. It doesn't actually create anything. And it harms lower and middle-income people the most because most of those people within that income bracket have a lot of their income tied into their property, into their house. And so it takes the most from them and gives to the wealthiest people, which is absolutely wrong. It's almost a reverse Robin Hood scheme. So, yeah, that'd be a big one.
Okay. So what are some other issues that you're running on? What are some other things you'd like to do if elected?
Well, I'd like the city to stop harming individuals that don't harm anybody else. You know, if you are wanting to go to the range with whatever weapon system, you should be allowed to. We shouldn't, like the new law coming up to ban magazines. The city council, I know they don't understand weapons because none of them have ever served in the military or as a first responder. And right. Because of that, they don't understand that the magazine is an actual basic component of a weapon. It's not an accessory. It's a basic component. It's what feeds the weapon. If you were to take out somebody's teeth and jaw, they would be a completely different person. It would completely change them. And that's the same thing with a weapon system. The magazine is the teeth and the jaw of a weapon system. And, I mean, the only thing that's going to do, the ban on magazines, it's just going to hurt the industries that supply those weapons right. that are above 10 rounds. It's going to hurt law-abiding citizens. Because unlike what the city council said, they said that everybody who owns these magazines is out there to murder you. That's not true. If that were true, every right. veteran would be. You know, every cop. The standard weapon for 85% of police officers is the Glock 19 or the Glock 22, and that holds 15 rounds.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting on to see where they're going with this limit on the Second Amendment, which obviously to enforce it, they have to limit your Fourth Amendment right, the search and seizures.
Right.
So they're gonna hit two constitutional amendments. They're gonna go against both of those, and I mean, furthermore on that, they are already going against state law. It's let's see.
I was wondering about that. I wasn't sure if that was gonna contradict current state law, or if whether state law gave municipalities flexibility, wiggle room to restrict. Different aspects with whether it's high capacity magazines or other other things without necessarily restricting somebody's right to carry.
Yeah, so it's state statute 724.28, and in that statute it states that the municipalities, the city council, or the counties, they can't supersede state law. And as far as weaponry goes, and because the magazine is a basic component and not an accessory to these weapons, they're unlawfully trying to enforce this. Now, like I said, on the 15th of July, they're going to try to bring up their, I mean, essentially their pandering ordinance. Because I know the bump stock thing, too. They're trying to do that. And that's already a federal law. That's insane right. that they're even bringing it up. That would be like running on a platform of trying to allow women to vote or abolishing slavery. You know, that's a federal thing already. It's,
yeah.
You know? So it's yeah. vastly unnecessary, and it's a waste of taxpayers' money because they're wasting their time talking about it.
Yeah, virtue signaling to
absolutely, to, absolutely.
Yep, the gun control lob or people. So
yep.
Okay, so basically, if they pass this, I mean, they could just expect a lawsuit, which
well, absolutely, yeah, which is going to hurt us again on the tax because they're not going to pay it. It's going to be the taxpayers that'll pay that lawsuit. Right. But I mean, it doesn't matter. Hopefully, if the state redrafts that, they either A, don't allow people to run again when they go against state law, when they're being unlawful or possibly incompetent, because it's one of the two. They're either too incompetent to read that law or they're just criminals and they're going against what the law says. There's really no way around that.
Yeah.
So we'll see which one it is. It could be a mixture of the two. I mean, we got that possibility as well.
Yeah, interesting. So one of the things I've noticed is that conservatives and Republicans in general, as well as, you know, conservatives and probably even libertarians, I think we focus on federal races and we focus on state races. But I have to say, when it comes to municipal races, that I don't think we're as involved and engaged as I've seen some, you know, liberal folks. Why do you think that is? And what can we do to change it? And I have to guiltily raise my hand here because I know it's not an area of focus for me either, even though, you know, frankly, city government and county government impacts my life more than state government and federal government does. But that doesn't seem to be where most of my attention lies.
Yeah, absolutely. I get what you're saying. And I think what I'm trying to extremely focus on is being nonpartisan. You know, I've talked to Democrats, I've talked to strong liberals, I've talked to conservatives, Republicans, libertarians, I've talked to everybody I could. And my ideas permeate all these people, too, because I'm focused on helping the smallest minority within the city, the most neglected, which would be the individual. And that's what my policies are trying to touch on. I don't want to, when I do environmental, I don't want to hurt small businesses or businesses in general. Like, that's all on the website, homerunformayor.com. It's actually very detailed, and it shows the policies that don't actually harm people and assist the city as a whole. But I think for your question, I know on the libertarian side, why people don't elect them as a whole, I believe it's because you got people that are more left-leaning, they want more government, you know? So because they're running for government, they want more power. And if you're getting rid of government, like I'm proposing less government, oversight over you, you have to be willing to give up power. And if you're running in all these different elections and you're putting all this time and money into it, it's almost counterproductive to a lot of people to give up a lot of that power. You know, a lot of those people have so much hubris that they're like, oh, I'm so much better than everybody else because I'm in this position, therefore I should decide everything. And that's not how it should be. You're there to assist people. You know, you shouldn't be there for the money. You shouldn't be there for the power. You shouldn't be there for any of it. You should try to reduce as much as possible. So well, I think that's where it comes down to, is there's that's the disconnect.
Yeah, my question is probably a little bit more broader than that. Is there's just, I know it's a level of engagement. I'm not talking about who votes for who, but it just seems like I know a lot of people on my that lean towards my political ideological perspective tends to be less engaged in local races and local politics, and we're focused more on state and federal politics. See what I'm saying?
I get where your question's going. It didn't really have a lot to do with where my position was, but I will answer that. I believe it's the ability to win. If you looked at the registered voters here in Des Moines, it's majority Democrat, then Republicans, and absolutely very any there's quite a few independents. That's where a lot of people can pick up. But it's the ability to win. A lot of people don't want to do anything if they can't win. That's what it is. They're scared of trying, And if they see that an area is overwhelmingly one party, one part of the tribe, they're not going to run into it. So that's what it is. At the state level, virtually every state, each party has at least an equal ability to win. You know, there's a lot of purple states out there. There's a lot of strong red ones, and there's a lot of strong blue ones. And then there's also that power aspect, too. You know, on the municipal level, you don't have as much power because the state supersedes you and the federal supersedes them. So then you lose a lot of that, too. And I know a lot of these positions draw people that are love power for some reason. I mean, well, yeah. I mean, that's probably what it is. That's why I just said, yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, how can people get involved with your campaign? What kind of help do you need?
I got quite a few volunteers. I would say donations. The biggest thing I want people to do is find out about what I'm talking about more in detail on the website, homerunformayor.com. Start looking at those policies. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll make sure to put a link up on, you know, when the podcast is up for that as well.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, and then the biggest thing I'm trying to push, November 5th, 2019, vote. Whether you vote for me or you vote for one of the other two, just come out and vote. It's so anemic, these local elections, with people coming out. I think the last election, there was less than 8,000 people in a city of 220,000. That's crazy, you know?
Yeah.
And the local government even, go ahead.
Well, I'm just wondering, you know, is part of the problem with having local races, you know, in an off year, you think it'd be better if it was tied in, the city elections were tied in with state and federal elections as well?
I mean, that probably would help. It's nice to kind of have our own thing. But I think one of the biggest things is the current city council and the current mayor have set voters that come out for them. And so they're almost a form of voter suppression if they don't tell people about it. There's no signs for it. It's not spread out everywhere. It's not even on the city council website, November 5th, 2019. They want their voters to come out, and that's it. So I think that would be one of the biggest problems for it, is that they know they have a set standard of people. I mean, every year, the current mayor has about 6,000 people that vote for him, and that's flatlined every single year. And so he has a set donor class, and he has a set voter class, and that's it. It's the people that he assists with schemes like the tax increment financing, where he shuffles money to his friends and family members through that. So I think that's probably the biggest problem with it. I don't think it would really matter too much. I mean, I don't see him doing it. Because of that, they're able to suppress the vote through that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a shame. That's why everybody I talk to, all my cards, November 5th, 2019, that's the biggest thing I want people to take away, is just to come out and vote. It'd be fantastic if we could, you know, supersede 10,000 votes this year. That'd be a great win for everyone. Yeah.
Great. And since this is a Caffeinated Thoughts podcast, I thought I'd ask you a question I like asking up. You know, people I interview. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite coffee drink?
What's my favorite? Straight black. I don't like any sugar or any of that stuff. Actually, that's what I have next to me right now. Just straight black coffee.
Right.
Yeah. It's good for you, and it doesn't have all the additives. So, yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, hey, Chase, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. And, you know, hopefully, you know, good luck, best of luck to you. And if you win, we'll definitely have you back on the talk about your time as mayor.
I appreciate it, Shane. And one thing I always like to kind of end stuff with is because I am really pushing for that nonpartisanship, and I like people to know that it's not about, you know, being Democrat or Republican. I think on the local elections, that's just a big distraction. Look left, look right. You know, which party do you belong to? On the local election, it doesn't matter. I know it matters strongly on the state and federal level, but when your house is flooded, when the roads need construction, when the school system's out of money, it doesn't matter which side you belong to. Because they're distracting from you. Where you should be looking is up and down, up towards liberty or down towards slavery. And that's what this election's going to be about. So, absolutely.
Right.
Fantastic.
Hey, thank you so much. Take care.
All right. Thank you, Shane. Bye.
All right, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
And that concludes today's episode of the Caffeinated Thoughts podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you happen to be listening to this podcast somewhere other than our website, please be sure to check out caffeinatedthoughts.com. That's caffeinatedthoughts.com, C-A-F-F-E-I-N-A-T-E-D, caffeinatedthoughts.com. You could just Google Caffeinated Thoughts and we'll show up at the top of your screen. Also, be sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, sign up for emails. That way you don't miss a single update. You can also subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts. Please, if you enjoy the podcast, give us a 5-star rating. That would be much appreciated. You can also listen to us on Google Play, on Stitcher, on Spotify, on SoundCloud, on Podbean. If there's a podcast app that we are missing, you know, let me know. Shoot me an email at shane@caffeinatedthoughts.com, and I'll see what I can do to make sure we're on that application as well. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great weekend. Take care. This is Shane Van Hert, and take care, my friends.